The following podcast contains adult themes and adult language. Listener discretion advised.
And although we joke, if you or someone you know is affected by or a victim of domestic violence, dial 1-800-799-7233 or visit the National Domestic Violence Hotline's website, thehotline.org.
It's always the husband, it's always the husband, it's always the husband, I'm on TV.
Hi, this is Sarah.
This is Megan.
You are listening to It's Always the Husband podcast.
Hi.
Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for listening.
Yes, this is our 17th beginning we've tried. We're having some issues with our brains and mouths.
Our brains
they don't mouths. Work. They don't work.
We're not friends.
Right. If you would like to do us a huge favor, if you listen to the show and give us a rating or review when you're done listening, that would help us so much. And do it for your favorite podcast. It really is kind of the best thing you can do for the podcast you listen to. It really helps.
Are you a new listener? Because if you are, you should join our Facebook group and
like
tell
our
us.
Facebook, tell us you're new.
That, yes. Just say like, I just listened to this, and then tell us what you thought, but only if it's nice.
Right. Well, of course.
Right.
And or follow us on Instagram, Twitter as well.
Don't do that.
Yeah. If you didn't like it, you know, whatever. Piss off. Piss off.
Blow your butthole.
Blow it out your butthole. Blow it out.
And that's how we get listeners.
Why? Blow it out your butthole.
By insulting them.
Yes.
That's what we're known for.
That's our shtick. And if you've stayed already this long, blessings. Bless you for this foolishness that's already started.
Jesus.
I know.
So
my goodness.
Bad. All right. So, Sarah, yes. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear about, because this is a doozy.
Yeah, what we do is we watch these wonderful true crime shows, and if you don't have Discovery Plus, you need
you're
to
dumb.
Get it immediately. Immediately. Yeah, you're dumb and you're ugly.
Yep.
No, you're very cute, listener.
And I think you're smart, too.
Right. But Discovery Plus has everything, because you can also, like me, watch 800 home shows and lake cabin hunts and the foolishness like this, and then watch every
sister show that you watch.
Oh, 1,000-pound sisters.
Yes.
My 600-pound wife with Dr. Now, as he says, tell me about the eating habits. And they go, I only eat vegetables. And he looks at him and says, no, tell me about the snacking habits. Are you walking? Are you walking? That's what he says.
I've never seen that show.
To me, who the enabler? The mother? Mother enabled? Who bring the food? That's all he says to them.
What?
And then they lie to him and he says, the scale does not lie. You have to lose 30, 40 pounds this month. He always says. Before
then they do to, they do it?
Sometimes, yeah. They do. If they just change their diet, he says you should be able to drop like 50 pounds in a month. Just without exercising.
If you weigh that much
right.
to begin yeah. with. Yeah.
Because
and if I just changed my eating no. habits.
What's a specialized diet? He gives them two words. And it's hard. Some of these people have no nutrition skills where they've never learned. I listened to one podcast. It's pretty good. I forgot even what it's called because I
it's so good.
It's good. But she does like health and exercise and diet and stuff. And she was talking about how she was counseling this one overweight guy and telling him kind of nutrition skills. And she said, I want you to do this week is drink your water and eat one fruit this week. That was his goal. Like one fruit, because he didn't eat any fruit. And so she came back and he said, I drank my water every day. And so she's like, good. And she's like, what fruit did you eat? And he said, I bought cherry pie filling. And he ate out of the can cherry pie filling.
It's
and he thought that was a fruit. And she said she wanted to laugh because you ate cherry pie filling out of a can and that was your fruit. And then she realized he genuinely thought that was fruit. Like he just wasn't at all educated in nutrition. Like had no idea.
Oh my God.
And so then it kind of like blew her mind. Like, oh my God, so many people don't, you know, you go into the, you don't know if you haven't really been taught, I guess. I mean, you would think it would be common sense, but I mean, maybe you don't, that you would go to the fruit section of the grocery store, not buy cherry pie filling. But I mean, I just thought, I mean, that's what these people on 100-pound life, they don't know. They cook with lard or something, and they don't know that maybe use, you know, other oil or something, or not use oil, or, you know, they just don't know.
Yeah. It seems weird. Yeah. But
I know.
I get it.
What to eat in habit. But I love it. So that's on Discovery Channel. So we are watching. We watched another Betrayed, which is, again, a golden standby.
God, it's so good.
It is a wonderful show. If you have not seen it, we kind of have the main character is always ends up murdered at the end, and they're talking you through the days leading up to their murder. Right. So it's actually pretty, like, it's pretty interesting because it's kind of this whole twist on it all. And of course, there's reenactments. The acting sometimes is questionable.
And sometimes it's amazing.
Right. And it's just a great show. Totally great show. So you got to watch Betrayed. This episode is called Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Correct. Yes. So this bitch has one up on me.
Oh man, she married and married and married and married and married and married.
I just married and married and married.
She married lots.
She married and married and married and married and had some boyfriends in between.
Yeah, we have five husbands between us, and I think she was there. Right? But she had four. Well, she had four weddings and like a boyfriend and a few boyfriends
and a boyfriend that she never
married.
Married. And
does he count as one of the wedding? We'll see.
So when does this start in
it? The year she was killed is 1999.
Oh yeah.
But we go all the way back.
It starts in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
The 80s.
What did you find out about 1999?
So in 1999, we've had a 99 cause a lot of deaths happen in the 90s. Yeah. Clearly. I'm going to have this water and open it here. So
okay.
You might hear
just,
it.
Yeah. Crack it.
Yep.
We're not even boozing it tonight.
Did you, I've never seen this movie. Cruel Intentions.
I've never seen it either.
But it's Sarah Michelle Gellar. Everyone knows
Reese, and right?
Reese, Ryan Phillippe, who married Reese this until he cheated. Yeah. His wing wandered far and wide, and
so
she divorced
stupid.
Him.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a teen version of Dangerous Liaisons that I have seen, and I thought was dumb as shit. Oh my God.
That was in, this was this year, 2010.
1999.
What the fuck? Okay, 1999. Yeah.
Our last episode was 2010.
Yeah. Oops.
Yes. But that came out. So that's when Ryan and Reese were together.
This was my first year out in the workforce.
Yes.
For me.
I was 98.
99 was my
first. So young.
Year
so
doing my secret job.
Right. Girl Interrupted. I never saw either with Angie
Jo. I did see
and
that.
Winona.
Winona Forever.
Johnny Depp was in Sleepy Hollow, and I love that movie. Yep. Actually. But he also
Johnny Depp looked good.
He looks very handsome, and he was also in another movie called Astronaut's Wife with Charlize Theron, which I thought was okay.
I didn't see
but it,
that.
It's not very highly rated. Where it's kind of like a horror movie. So he's an astronaut that goes to space and comes back, and something is like.
Something's amiss.
Something's taken over him. So he's not, he looks like him, but he's not him.
Ooh.
And so the wife, Charlize, kind of figures out something's different the whole movie until she figures out he's like an alien person.
Ah.
And the first Trailer Park Boys movie came out. And I love Trailer Park Boys show.
Never seen it.
More than anything, it's my favorite thing ever and a gift in my life, Trailer Park Boys. So thank you. For 22 years of Trailer Park Boys. I love you.
What?
Canada gave us Trailer Park Boys and Martin Short, and I'm forever grateful.
And they also gave us Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And Shawn Mendes and Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Lots of Canadian
men. Thank you. Canada and yep. Justin Trudeau. Yep. Oh, Canada.
Yep. They do it right in Canada.
They shall do.
Now get this. Joan Murray. This woman, Joan Murray. When we say we have a bad day because we have to go to our secret job and I'd rather eat a poop than go.
Yeah.
Joan Murray jumped out of a plane. Her parachute didn't open. Now, this is what happened to me. She fell 14,500 feet. She landed, but she landed on a mound of fire ants. The fire ants started to bite her several hundred times.
What?
And those bites from the fire ants caused adrenaline to stay high in her body, which kept her heart beating and kept her alive. So this bitch had a bad day. And she lived. But when you're, I don't know if
was
she had broken.
Every bone in her body broken?
I guess it depends on how tall the fire mound
is. Oh my God.
I mean, talk about shit. And this
That's
was, yeah.
Nuts.
I know. Completely bonkers.
Was she jumping out like. Because she did it on purpose, like she paid for it, like she was going to go skydiving.
I hope. Or I mean, she's supposed to have a parachute.
She was the.
I don't know. I didn't learn about her.
Who was the guy who ran, who threw the money out and hijacked the plane?
Oh,
and they never. DB Cooper. She wasn't DB Cooper.
She was not DB Cooper.
Okay.
In 1914, a young British man, World War I soldier, writes a love letter to his wife. Throws it in the English Channel.
Aww.
He died, was killed in the war 2 days later. 2 days later.
Shit, man.
In 1999, a fisherman found it, pulled it out. His wife had died in 1979, but he went and delivered it to his 86-year-old daughter and brought the letter. That's kind of sweet. But unless it was a filthy letter, the daughter doesn't want to read that.
Why did he give it to his daughter?
Well, because the wife was dead.
He gave it to the daughter.
The daughter of the sir that wrote the letter.
Sir. Oh. Yes.
So well, the general.
He already had a daughter, though he died 2 days later? Was
he
married?
I mean, he was married.
Oh.
I'm sure the daughter was born.
Yeah. Okay. I got confused.
She was 86.
Wow.
In 99. So she would have been born in whatever the math is.
Yeah.
13. She was a baby when he was
starting
the war.
Yeah, my brain just didn't work right there.
But I thought that's romantic, unless the letter is just him drawing tits or something and putting it in a bottle.
What if he did?
Oh my God.
I don't think they did back then.
They weren't
filthy. They were like so romantic and
I don't know.
Loving and beautiful.
Maybe.
And then in 1999, we had classics like Destiny's Child, Bills, Bills, Bills.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's what we
Society
danced to romantically.
Society really went downhill.
Right. Society is fucked.
We had, no, I don't want no scrubs. Scrubs, a guy can't get no love from me. That's what we were listening to instead of writing love letters. And also... In 1989, this was the year of the auto-tune. Do you know what song was number one? Do you believe in life after love? Yep.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I do like Cher, though.
This was Baby One More Time year. We've talked about this one, too.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray, Every Morning.
Ugh.
I went to that concert. My favorite of all time. Well, not of all time, but I... might think that this man is the most beautiful man in the world.
Oh, no.
Who? Ricky Martin.
Oh, yeah. He's cute. He was on General Hospital, I said, and he was cute.
Not cute, Sarah. He's like...
He's very handsome.
Gorgeous. Yes. I follow him on Instagram and I die.
Yeah, he's super talented.
Oh, he's so... The older he gets, the better
he's very,
looking
he gets.
He gets better looking.
And he was in Menudo that I watched on Saturday mornings.
Yes.
Yep.
I used to get those Menudo, those like teen beats with Menudo.
Yeah.
Because I was on the farm. I didn't even know, but I thought he was cute then.
I know. Well, he was. And he had the long hair on General Hospital. Super long hair.
He's so good looking.
Yeah, he
was living La Vida Loca. He's second.
He sure was.
He might be more than Rob Lowe in my love list.
He's like sexier.
And John Hamm, yeah. It's like, yeah. I really got a thing for him.
This was a weird fact that you won't even know about. Mm-hmm. In 1999, the movie Matrix came out that you've seen, you did would never have seen.
Zero times.
That's with Keanu.
Yeah.
But Neo, who was Keanu, had a passport, and the date of the passport expiring was September 11th, 2001. Isn't that weird? For like the Matrix movie that's all about weird shit. Like, I mean, that's weird.
That is weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I just saw that fact and I thought, ooh, that's creepy. Ugh. Anyway, let's talk about our betrayed.
Let's talk about it.
Again, it is called Four Weddings and a Funeral. And I forgot to write down, again, the season and episode. I have the space for it.
I didn't either. No. Nope.
So I'll find that.
No. Nope.
This has reenactments, but it does have real people attached to the crime interviewed as well. So this type of show. We see Carol. Okay, Carol is a mom.
This
Carol
is not Forensic this Files.
Not Forensic
Carol.
Files. Carol, although she has bad day. She has bad day. Like
Carol
Forensic
has
Files, Carol.
Many bad yes. days, but this is not no Files, relation. No.
And a kid, one of her daughters, answers the phone and says it's Dad. So Carol starts talking on the phone, but then she has another kid that answers the door and says it's Dad. And so you're like, how many dads are there? And we realize there's lots of dads in this story. We hear Carol's voice because, again, the person that's murdered is mm-hmm. narrating the entire story, talking about who murdered, who betrayed them and
from
murdered
the
them at the end.
Beyond. Yes.
Carol says that she has been married four times.
Yep.
Her name kind of, she almost Elizabeth Taylored it.
She
really
did,
here.
Yeah.
She's Carol Walker Crawford Stallings Grannon.
Correct.
With some boyfriends in between.
That's like what we call you.
Yes.
Sarah Ganser Sheets Nelson.
Yes. I almost made it. I could have been Sarah Ganser Sheets Ganser Nelson, but I didn't go back. I should have. But you went back to yours.
Yeah.
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 I should have. God. Fucked. Anyway, the show starts November 1998, and it says 4 months before she is murdered. Mm-hmm. Carol has, a terrible Southern accent. So this is supposed to take place in Muskogee. Mm-hmm. Muskogee.
Yeah,
Muskogee. Sorry, I said that terribly wrong. Muskogee, Oklahoma.
In Muskogee?
Muskogee. What a dumb whore I am. Muskogee. What an idiot. Pretend you didn't hear that.
I live in Minneapolis.
I live in Minneapolis. Terrible accent. Carol decides to kind of take us back in time to all of her 800 boyfriends and girlfriends. I mean, boyfriends and husbands.
And kids.
We see her real sister, Darlene Copeland, that I wrote was quite a lovely older woman, although her eye makeup was a little too much.
She was rough around the edges.
But, I mean, she just seems like she would be a lovely grandma.
I think so.
Yeah.
Do you think she smoked?
I think she was a smoker.
Yeah, it sounded like she had a little bit of a smoker.
But she had some heaters in her life.
Yeah, she had some.
Yeah.
But she was certainly lovely.
She was lovely. Mm-hmm. She is 6 years older than Carol, so the older sister. She said Carol was quite a social butterfly mm-hmm. when she was younger, and then says this, which is kind of a window into her Carol's thoughts here. Carol, she says, she had no father, you know. Her mom, Carol's mom, she said her mom, mm-hmm. married five times, all alcoholics. Mm-hmm. So maybe when that's what you're growing up with, you maybe don't really have a great dad role, husband
your
role
model. Your picker was broken by heredity.
Had a real bad picker.
Yep.
She meets Eddie at age 13. At 13. They wait until she's 18 to get married,
Thank you.
And she becomes Carol Walker. She married Eddie Walker. All right, so...
And Eddie. if you're listening, this is where you need to get a piece of paper out and just keep notes on the husbands.
Need to because keep notes.
Even I got confused. Like, I could see their faces, but then I was like, which one is that every
because
time?
Because there is a non-husband one, boyfriend in the middle.
There was one in the middle.
So
yeah.
Like five.
So you need to put, like, on this post-it note, you're going to put Eddie.
Right.
Cop.
Number one.
Yes. Number one, Eddie Cop.
Husband one.
And he's a dad of
two of the
kids. Yes.
So right away, they have two children, a boy and a girl. They seem pretty happy. Now, in all of the talks of the weddings, they show Carol just doing housework, cleaning up, and showing the various uniforms these husband would wear. So Eddie is a police officer, and he is the entire time she knows him. In the same town as her, actually, throughout the whole time. Eddie got boring, says Sister Darlene. I guess he worked long hours. Carol really didn't kind of like the home, just staying at home with kids. She was probably, you know, 21, two kids, probably wanted to go out and party with her friends and have fun. And here she is at home all day. She started to get really lonely. She got depressed. Mm-hmm. And after just three years of marriage, so they have two kids in 3 years, she falls in love with another man. Carl Finch. She does not marry Carl. So you want to post it of Carl.
Right.
Not married. But she left Eddie, literally just told him, bye, I fell in love with another man. I'm leaving you. Leaves the kids with Eddie.
She left them with Eddie.
And takes off with Carl. So 1986, Carol and Carl were never officially married, but Carl was a mailman. So again, they show Carol cleaning up a living room in a mailman uniform sitting there.
Okay.
They had a daughter, Heather. So Carol has the two older children, boy and a girl, with Eddie. Left Eddie for Carl.
Correct.
Did not marry Carl, but had one daughter.
But Carl was the postman. Officer.
Yes.
Man. So we have a police officer and a postman.
Yes. As you call him, a post officer.
What are they? Oh, because they work at the post office.
A mail, sir.
They are.
He is a mail, sir.
The sirs of the mail.
Now, after four.
He's a postmaster.
He's a masturbating postman. The post. He's a masturbating post officer. Anywho, 4 years into the relationship, they show Carol and Carl fighting. And now Carl is a big drinker. I don't know if Carol was a big drinker. She might have been, but I think they just said Carl was a big drinker. He is threatening her. Carol just says, I'm going to call Eddie and Eddie's going to come get me and the kid and Heather. And so Eddie and Gary, who is another brother-in-law of Carol's.
Yep.
Come to the door and Carl loses it and takes a gun and just starts shooting through the door at Eddie and Gary on the other side. So that's pretty fucking weird.
Right.
And yeah, you should leave a man that shoots through the door when people ring the doorbell.
Right.
No, leave. So she does. She grabs her daughter. Eddie is there to whisk her away. And does she go back with Eddie? No. But Carol, her sister Darlene said Carol, was very scared of Carl. Which she should be. He's shooting through doors.
He shot through a door.
And then, why, Eddie was a cop. Why didn't he, like, charge him?
I don't know. But he did, like, rescue her from this, right? And then
Carol,
she moved to Texas.
Yes, to live with her sister Darlene. So that was
who was
right
telling
away.
Us the story. Yes. Yep. Yes. And then now that she's there, she meets a new man in a uniform.
And his name is what?
Randy.
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 She meets Randy.
Gary, Carl, you couldn't get better names.
Yes. We see her actual picture. I just wrote, yeah. I wouldn't go as far to call her a handsome woman. But they entire show kept saying she was such a beautiful woman.
And everyone loved her.
She was
so
swatting
pretty.
Dicks away left and right. And I just, I don't,
really
I don't
was.
See it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Carol meets Randy, 1988. She has the two children with Eddie. She has the one child with Carl. She has a fourth child with Randy. And like you said, Randy is now a security guard at the airport.
Yes. At the airport.
She quite quickly falls out of love with Randy, leaves Texas, and this fourth child pretty much just stays with Randy the whole time, kind of, and only goes to visit her for short times, I think.
And the sister even said in the interview, I don't know why they got divorced.
Yeah.
She just never talked about it. She got married, had a kid.
And left him.
Got divorced.
Yep. I think Bye. Darlene was tired of keeping track of it by that.
I think she was like,
you're fucked.
Her brains worked like ours did.
Right.
And
she moves back to Oklahoma, the same town where Carl lives and Eddie lives. That yep. She lived there. So she has two of her exes in this town. But
she's
since she has children with them.
Yep. Muskogee.
Yep. Carol's in her early 30s now and has four kids. That the show tells us with three different fathers, which happens.
Sometimes
it happens. Darlene said that Carol was a great mother, a great housekeeper, and that she always did try to be pretty. Again, I wrote, Oh.
I found a glamour shot of her, so we'll have to
I mean, she's really bordering handsome.
What I was really impressed with was her housekeeping abilities. Like, her sister said every time she went to her house, like, even if it was just, like, a drop-by, like, oh, I gotta stop by and drop off some whatever,
yep.
cookies, I don't know. She's like, the house was spotless.
Right. And
how?
Four kids Carol? And she has that...
How?
Magical.
You can't remember magic. Your husband's name.
She's magic.
You have so many yep. kids, you don't know whose house they're at, and you can fucking clean your house, and mine
know.
Is a just disaster.
Well, she didn't. I mean, she was a housewife. I mean, she had more time, maybe. I mean, she didn't have time. She had four kids.
No,
I don't know.
Jesus.
But she left her kids with all the dads, so I don't know. Maybe she just could keep it clean because her kids were never with her.
Maybe.
I don't know. 1994, she marries again. Another great name, Greg Stallings.
Mm-hmm.
They met in church. So maybe she's thinking, you know, hey, maybe. This one might work. They show her doing the dishes, and I underlined this 47 times. Greg angrily comes in and yells, "Damnation, Carol!" I wrote, "Damnation, Carol."
Who
underlined.
Is the writer of
damnation,
this show?
Damnation, Carol.
No one says damnation.
And screams at your wife, "Damnation, Carol." So now "Damnation, Carol" is what I'm going to name my boat when I get a boat.
Mm-hmm.
It was the diarrhea before, and now it's "Damnation, Carol." I'm going to name
the diarrhea.
Boats. Yeah. He's yelling at Carol for spending money.
Yeah.
Of course. And pulls the old same husband thing of, you better listen to me, Carol, because I'm the man in this house.
Gross.
Well, I don't give two fucks that you're the man. I'm the
right.
woman in this house. Who cares, dick? But he says, I paid for your schooling and I pay for your kids, so you do as I say. Get it? Well, again, she should say, well, dick, I don't have a job. Where am I going to get
right.
the money? Duh, you pay for it, you bitch. You
right.
signed up for this.
Right.
You know I had kids, you dumb dick. What? Who? I don't have money.
Yeah, this is...
Where am I supposed to pull money out of my tits? You think that just comes out? I don't have cash. Duh.
Oh, God.
But, of course, this hurts Carol because she thought Greg was someone who would provide a stable home for her kids, you know, was financially safe. But he's a freaking psycho. And Darlene comes up. Darlene says this, which is sad but true. She said, we grew up in a time where you just did as you were told and you don't say anything about it. And I'm sure she saw her mom getting yelled at by her various husbands.
Yep.
But she should have said to him, how about this? Go fuck yourself. How about this, Greg? Go
fuck yourself.
Fuck yourself. But Carol does even one better. She says, I'm out of here. And she just takes off. I love it. I'm out of here. She doesn't even respond to him. I'm out of here.
Yep.
Totally at that minute, freaking leaves him. It just takes off and dumps him. I liked that. Greg is just kind of sitting there like, oh, what? Okay. All right. And Carol does. She gets her kids.
This is where she gets her shit together.
She freaking leaves. She goes back to school, gets a better job. She's a like lab med
tech. She draws blood. Yeah.
And gets a job at a hospital and starts pulling and starts taking care of her own kids. And she's really Muskogee, proud of herself.
The Muskogee General Hospital.
Yeah. And she just totally just kills it and does a great job.
Ain't nobody going to tell her damnation again. Right.
And she didn't even have to say, go fuck yourself. She just said, I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. No, damnation yourself. Your ass.
Right.
Blow your butthole out your butthole.
Dick. Chris works with her and is a bit handsy. This gentleman, Chris, is her coworker. And we see him. She's working and he just starts giving her a shoulder massage.
It was weird.
If I had a male coworker that just started giving me a shoulder massage, I would think that's odd. Even if we were friends.
You don't like to be touched.
I don't
period.
Care to be touched.
So if anyone.
Or talked to ever or looked touched, at.
Yeah. But no, that is inappropriate.
No.
Inappropriate.
I just find that I would be so uncomfortable. You'd be like, no. Yeah, I would slowly creep onto
you
the floor
just
and roll.
Slide
away.
Down.
Yep. Slide and roll.
Yep.
That's what I would do. Or scream fire and grab my rape whistle and blow my rape whistle.
It's a good thing we work with like three men.
Right. And they don't want anything to do with us. No, they would not touch us if they were paid $1 million.
No.
They refuse.
Nope. I think we're good. We're safe.
Right. Her oldest. So Carol, his oldest son now is an adult. He's out on his own. The youngest son is in Texas with Randy. Mm-hmm. She has the two teenage girls and she moves in with her friend Lisa, who wants to help her really get back on her feet, which is really nice to do. Here's where Carol really shits the bed. Man.
She was so close.
She was so close. So close. Lisa and Carol have a wine outside. It looks like on the porch, a nice Oklahoma Southern night, having some wine.
Yep.
Lisa, I guess, has a construction business. You go.
Yes, and she's a contractor.
Says, some guy pulls up in a truck, and she's like, fuck, this dick is coming to get his check. Well, she didn't say that. She just said a worker.
She's like, he's one of my roofers. He needs money. Hold on.
So she goes in to get his check, and we see Jeff Grannon. Carol and Jeff hit it off right away. So Jeff comes, I wrote, he looks like a haggard dumpster version of Ryan Gosling. So if you picture a dumpster version of Ryan Gosling, he kind of, the actor did. Now, not the real Jeff. The real Jeff, you need to, again, be prepared with pillows around you in case you faint. You need a biting stick.
Is
you need
where
a whiskey.
Yeah, betrayed really led us astray here.
Right, because the haggard Ryan Gosling, you could maybe
I could see it. I could
maybe.
See it.
Yeah.
When I saw him in real life.
Again. Nope. I had to have the smelling salts.
Yes. Jaw hit the floor.
Yep. Absolutely was stunned. Carol, what in the hell is wrong with your brain picking this one?
Maybe she was just fucking out of her mind drunk on wine.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Her vision was blurred. Darlene pretty much said that once Carol met Jeff, she knew I was going to marry this man. Again, that makes me think she was hammered.
Yeah.
But they would stay up talking until 4 a.m. on the porch.
Remember those days when you could just talk forever?
No.
Yes, you do.
It's been so long.
Oh my God. Phil and I used to text, like, remember when you were still having to text and you had like ABC on the same number, and that's how you texted on my flip phone? Oh my God. We would just stay up and talk on MySpace for hours.
I forgot you had a MySpace. I'm so embarrassed.
I am too.
Oh. Yeah, I wrote real Jeff, super weird and ugly. God, I'm mean on these notes.
So mean. It's shocking.
After 2 months, she marries this dick, Jeff. But again, they had they're like you said, romantically talking, clicking, just kind of seem like this whirlwind of I found my person. And yeah.
There was also a shocking reporter who started talking at this point, who was like telling the story. And I went back like 30 times because I could not figure her shit out. Her name was Elizabeth Ridenour. Did you write anything down?
No.
I wrote like, is she alive? She literally, her one line was saying to talk about Jeff and Carol meeting. And she said, they got along. Well, they got along. Well, that's what she said. And there was like, dot, dot, dot. They got along. Well, her lips were she had no facial expressions at all. And then she comes back again.
Was she a zombie?
Yes. It was like a zombie. They got along. Well. And then they introduce the kids to each other.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. Carol and Jeff meet up at a park, it looks like, where Carol.
She had the one
three
kid.
Of her kids. She had the Randy kid.
Yeah.
Jeff has one son named Josh. And I kind of. Josh looked cute. He looked kind of shy and just kind of confused, you know, like, oh.
And he's like, here's my son, Josh. And then the girls, all of Carol's kids are like, we all have different dads.
I know. Totally. Yeah. Totally embarrass her. Like, we're late because she made us get her monostat. And she forgot it. Like, so embarrassing where Carol wants to die when they say that.
We all have different dads.
Now we see this is where we see the actual real wedding photo. And this is where I needed my smelling salts and my fainting couch because it blew my butthole off. Mm-hmm. I wrote, I'm not getting a straight vibe from Jeff. Mm-mm. I didn't really get that he was into gals from the picture.
But he also wasn't a well-groomed gay either.
No.
He had the look of a Tiger King gay.
Absolutely. 100% Tiger King.
Correct. He was wearing a blue, like, Henley shirt that he got at Walmart.
Or Montgomery Ward.
And it's wedding.
Yes.
And she had a very unattractive dress with like a vest.
Yeah, that you would wear to work. Maybe.
Maybe in 1989, but then it was 1999.
Yeah, it was bad. It was terrible. And they were in some sort of weird office room.
And her sister was not invited to this wedding at all. Yep, they were just like, let's get married.
She was pretty much just like, I don't know why I wasn't invited, but I wasn't there. I don't know. Cripes. Not too long after the marriage, Jeff is driving Carol to work. He drops her off. He sees her go in with the handsy shoulder rubbing Chris. Mm-hmm. And he gets really kind of jealous. And they do show Chris is like grabbing her hair and touching her. I mean, if my husband walked in, I dropped off, all of a sudden a woman came up and started rubbing him and touching him, I would be like, what is going on? Like,
except we don't know if that was done for just the show, you know, because they're trying to make each of them appear as if they could be a suspect in the end.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, I never got, from what her sister said, she didn't ever say that they were like together.
The whole show does kind of stress that Chris and Carol were not having an affair. Although everything kind of pointed to them having an affair, how it
they
looked.
Did like each other, and
it did just say that Carol was just naturally a flirty person, and some men took it as she's flirting with me and they're going to push it a little further. But she really thought nothing of Chris except a work friend. And I think Chris just thought of her as a friend too, but he does some things that are kind of, I mean, weird.
In the show,
Now, there's a story that Darlene tells where Carol and Chris are working one day, and Jeff goes into her work, and Carol says, or Darlene is saying that Carol told her that Jeff smashes his body up against the glass wall looking into her lab and just staring at her working with Chris.
He Dustin Hoffman'd her at the wedding, basically, is what he did. He's like,
pounding
on the window. And she was like, what the fuck? I'm working.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing somebody's blood.
Exactly. And you're here spying on me. So that's
super weird. Smashing on the window.
1 month before the murder, now we see Carol interacting with her daughters. Carol starts kind of fighting with her oldest teen daughter, Alicia. She picked her up late because Carol had to work late. And Alicia is just kind of being a, you know, snotty teen.
Yeah.
And really just being super snotty. She's blaming Carol and says some comment that she's already having an affair after being married like, for like a month.
You are late because you're already having an affair.
Right. Carol gets super mad, drives Alicia to her dad's Eddie's house and tells Eddie to say, you need to talk to your daughter and tell her to be more respectful to her mother, which Eddie kind of does say, you know, don't say that, tries to correct her. But then Eddie says, I guess old habits die hard, huh?
Yeah.
Because Carol did leave him, just left him one day totally for Carl.
Right.
And so Carol gets super pissed at Eddie. And then she is seen with...
And they have a really good parenting relationship.
It's
Carol and Eddie. Right. And the sister did even say that. Like, they never... They always worked well together. The girls, he would even take her other kids to school and stuff.
Right.
And, like, pick them up.
Yeah.
Even though they weren't his, he would just help her out. Like, they were friends.
And Darlene does say that she felt Eddie always loved Carol. And if Carol ever wanted him back, he would have said absolutely.
Yep.
He would have went back with her.
Yeah.
Carol then goes to pick up Heather from her dad, the psycho Carl, that shot through the door. So again, why does he have custody of...
I'm not sure.
...the daughter? Shooting attempted murder through a door, maybe...
It's not okay.
...you don't need to have the kids.
Nope.
But, Heather tells... Or Carl then makes a comment or something about her having an affair with Chris. And so she says, where did you hear that? And Carl says, from the girl in your back seat, his daughter, who heard it from the girl in your front seat, her other daughter.
So Carol's daughters are just setting the town ablaze.
Right.
With the gossip about their own mother. Yeah.
Whoring it around or whatever. So Carol gets super mad, and then of course Carl's a super big dick and screams
Carl's
at Carol.
A huge asshole.
And is a total ass. Rumors are spreading all around town, like I said, probably from her own daughters.
Yeah.
We fast forward a bit to March 1st, 1999, which is 2 weeks before the murder. And Carol is walking on the street again, I think, with Heather, the daughter Heather.
Yeah, I got the daughters confused.
And she sees ex-husband Greg, the one who said damnation Carol, on the street, and he starts taunting her about her having an affair and yelling at her, and they say having three exes in a small town is pretty hard. Like, can you imagine being in a tiny town and you have all your ex-husbands there and you have kids with all of them?
And she never had any good comebacks either. Like, Carl would tell her something and she'd be like, that's unkind, Carl.
Yes.
That was what they would make her say. And Carl.
Yeah, she never would have said, how about this? Go fuck yourself.
Get your priorities straight, Carol.
Yeah.
Like, okay,
Carol just said, I've left a trail of angry, jealous men. Well, yeah.
She sure did.
You picked dicks, that's why.
Really?
We get to 1 week before her death, and Carol and Jeff actually look happy. They're watching TV. And then, this is weird, coworker Chris just calls at night. Well, Jeff answers the phone, freaks out at her. You know,
she's not here.
Right.
Carol's not here.
Threatens Carol and throws the bowl of popcorn at her.
Yes.
Like, just a huge dick. And Carol's like, what the hell? But then Carol calls him back and they're having a flirty conversation. Well,
I'd like to hear your voice.
I don't understand what's going on.
I'd like to hear your voice too.
Yeah, I mean, that's not appropriate.
No.
So now the day of the murder, March 15th, 1999. They just show Carol getting her makeup on. I have no idea if she was going to work or whatever. They don't say. Or she was going to run errands, I guess, is what the story was. And then we see the typical, the standard betrayed montage. Mm-hmm. They play music and all of the men are doing weird, angry things.
Yes.
So it looks like all of the 1900 exes and Chris co-worker could be the killer. They're doing all like super weird shit.
Wiping off tools, yes, picking up phones,
closing trunks and looking around.
Yes. Yeah. Having a mean look on their face.
Yes.
Shifty eyes.
Exactly.
Yes.
To and the then, music montage.
Yes. And then you are like, ooh,
it could
which
be
one
any
is
of
it?
Them.
Yep.
Carol ran errands that day, but did not come home. So daughter Heather starts getting worried and saying, you know, mom would never just not come home, right, and really tries to get Jeff to call the police, and he couldn't give two shits. He just won't. And he's pretty much, she done run off.
Yeah.
Like that, oh, she done run off. Alicia, the oldest daughter, who was like the super bitch before, is at somewhere and Carol never
she
shows to pick her up.
Yeah. Yeah, she needed a ride home from work.
So she calls her dad, Eddie.
And the sheriff. Eddie,
the sheriff. So he comes to pick her up. And actually, Alicia is super concerned for her mother. Just like, this doesn't like mom not to come or not, you know, something's wrong.
Right.
And Eddie and Alicia drive all over town till like 1 or 2 a.m. looking for her to no luck. And it's also very, you know, your daughter, if you have a teenage daughter, it's good to know that they might be just spread lies that you're sleeping with everyone in town. But then when you die, they get very, they're upset and they're worried and they still love you. They still love you deep down, even though they're a super dick to you.
Alicia,
your daughters still love you.
And Heather really got their shit together.
Yeah. They loved their mom.
Even though
they are devastated.
Were rumor starters about her.
The day after the disappearance, finally, Jeff goes in, files a missing person report with the daughters, who are very distraught, saying this is not like their mother at all. Eddie, being a sheriff, really just gets involved with the police, saying he can cover more ground because the police just can cover the town. He can cover the whole county.
And he also actually knows her family, so he knows who to call because he was married to her.
Yeah, he starts getting involved with the case. Now, Darlene actually says that she didn't hear anything about Carol disappearing until what was like 1 week or two weeks later or something, until Ellie called her, like you said. Eddie is kind of struggling with the thought. They think that maybe she did just leave Jeff, like she left him. But
and they ask him, like, were you having any troubles? And he's like, yeah, well, she run off from you, didn't she?
Right.
Like when Eddie's asking him, and Eddie is concerned because what did she leave in her bathroom, Sarah? She left her mascara.
Her makeup, mascara,
all of her makeup.
Everything.
There's not one thing taken from
nothing.
Her house.
So you don't run off not having your mascara.
No.
And your underwear.
Especially not Carol.
Right.
She
Not Carol. She needed that. She needed some makeup. She needed it. Now, Greg is also a similar dick, pretty much saying, she done run off from you too, right?
Yep.
To him. And so Eddie's just like, Jesus, she married some dicks. 2 months go by.
Poor Eddie.
I know. Before her car is finally found, Eddie ends up calling Alicia saying, we did find your mom's car. And Alicia actually drives to the crime scene and gets in the car and just puts her fingers all over and is touching everything, trying to probably look to see if her mom is in it. Eddie gets there. Alicia's crying, saying mom's not here, you know, totally devastated.
It was parked outside the Department of Human Services.
Totally weird. The car is tested, dusted for fingerprints, luminol, nothing, absolutely nothing is found in the car. And Eddie's really disappointed and the girls are devastated again. Late summer, so more months go by. 5 months later.
Yeah, August in 2000.
Family puts up a reward. They get a tip that coworker Chris could have been involved. So coworker Chris is finally interviewed.
And he says, I'm a phlebotomist.
I draw blood.
I'm a phlebotomist.
He says he doesn't have an alibi, but didn't kill her. They were just friends. They were not having an affair. And they really just don't even further deal with him.
Well, Eddie was like, where were you? And he's like, I was probably at home. I know that doesn't sound good, but they said Eddie was scared shitless because he was black.
Right. And this is a southern town.
Yes. And he had been accused of having an affair. Yeah. He was the only black guy who was in the list of suspects, right. And he was scared shitless.
Yeah.
That they were going to
just pin it on him.
Yep. Okay. It's him.
But really, it goes nowhere, I think. And then he also says, I don't know, it was 5 months ago. I don't remember.
Right.
There is no new leads. Searches are leading to nothing. The tips are leading to nothing. We get to March 2011. Years are passing. So this is 12 years later?
It was a lot of math years.
Josh, poor little Josh, who was shy Josh, who was Jeff's son from his first marriage, gets arrested at a hotel bus for meth. Mm-hmm. So, Josh, you're not handling this so well.
He was cooking meth.
Yep, in a hotel room.
In the hotel.
The person arresting him happens to be Eddie.
Eddie.
As Josh is getting arrested, he says, aren't you Eddie? And he's like, yeah. And he says, I'm Josh, Carol's stepson. And he's like, okay. And he says, I have a story you might want to hear.
Mm-hmm. He had
info about Carol's death, and I'm sure he only said it to hope to get a lesser sentence of some kind.
I have outside information on this.
Josh tells Eddie that he knows what happened to Carol. And they show Josh. They don't really tell what he says, but they show Josh in the reenactment starting to tell Eddie the story that Jeff did kill Carol in their garage. He strangled her.
With a zip tie.
Which I can't imagine a more terrifying thing to have around your neck, because you can't
get it
loosen
off.
It nope. until you, unless you cut it. You can't with your fingers. Right. I mean, you'd have to know I'm going to die.
Yep.
Then Jeff took her body to the backyard, to the way back of the backyard, where there is a sewer hole, like a manhole cover into a sewer, dumped her body in the sewer, and then poured concrete over it. Mm-hmm. And then kept pouring concrete over it every few years. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't the city ever have to check on that manhole? I mean, wouldn't they be like, what's all this fucking concrete in here?
No, because the beast is down there and Carol's down there.
Oh, I guess.
And
like a bunch of weird assholes in Renaissance clothes live in there.
They just leave those fuckers alone.
I guess. They should. So they go to the sewer and they have to use big machinery, because there's so much cement poured in here, and it just,
they kept calling it cement.
Cement,
just
there.
Like how you said,
Muskegee.
The cement. There was so much cement.
They had to like saw it open, get little chunks and until they hit bone. So it just seemed like a super
took
tedious
ever because they'd have to break up the concrete and then look in the concrete to see if there was bone in the concrete or clothes like whatever could be in
when
there.
They finally hit bone, they called the ME to come and recover the bones, because I'm sure they do some sort of thing or whatever.
Just some sort of thing.
They show the real interview when Jeff is pulled in. This is where they just show real footage. So sometimes at the end they do then just have the real footage, like the real body or the crime scene or whatever. And that's what I like about Betrayed too, that it does all this reenactment at the front and then it's the real stuff at the end.
Yeah, this is creepy
It's so terrible. Jeff, again, looks like Tiger King if he shaved his head. And had a voice that, it was like a nasal, like a Muppet nasal voice. And it talked like if he pinched his nose and had a high nasal voice. I couldn't even. They start interviewing him. And real Jeff is pretty much, I didn't do it. And then the cops say, well, Josh said you did. He went, okay, I did it.
And then he said, how? How, sir? And he said, with that zip tie deal, go around her neck.
He just zip tied a neck.
Zip tie deal. Zip tie deal around her neck.
That zip tie deal.
Go around her neck.
Then
he told the story, and then he told the officer, That's what happened, my friend.
Yep. That's what happened, my friend. Except when this high nasal voice.
But this, now, can you please tell the worst part? Because this is devastating, and this is what I know a little bit of outside information about.
But Josh?
Yes.
He did not get charged.
No, but
with the
Josh,
murder.
So
in his mugshot, or was
Jeff
bad.
Made his son,
oh, yes.
Josh,
poor, yeah.
Help him get her into a wheelbarrow.
Right, because Josh walked in
Josh
on him killing
walked
her.
In and saw Carol dead in the garage and said, Josh, help me. And he was like, Dad, you know, like, what is going on? And he's like, well, we're going to take care of it, right? And so he made Josh, they put her dead body in a wheelbarrow, went out mm-hmm. behind the house, opened the manhole, dumped her body in, and then he made Josh put lime and concrete over and help get the dead body into the drain. And then that child was just supposed to be okay.
Yep, that might have been why he turned to meth.
Do you think that's why he was cooking meth?
Yes.
In a fucking hotel room?
And trying to do meth to have the idea of his burying his stepmom
right.
in a
who would want to live with a murderer? Would you feel safe as a child?
No, if my
living with someone who you just saw put a zip tie around your stepmom's neck and then forced you
to help he was
hide
terrified
the
every
body
single day.
He was terrified every time he saw a cop, every time. And I do know that, well, the cops seem to think that Jeff was like felt relieved after he spilled the beans, you know, and was like, oh, do you feel better now? How do you feel now?
Remember
what he said? He goes, I feel like a dumbass.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Well, and I'm
he
sure he
ruined
kept the secret forever. He would have said the
children's
beast did it.
Life. All these children grew up then without a mother, and he ruined his son's life, who turned to drugs, and they said that they did not charge Josh with any part of the murder or concealing the murder. But I think
I'm sure he got
was
meth charges, drug charges
already.
Oh, yeah. He
I
looked
mean,
so bad. In his
because
mugshot.
There are still mugshots of him. Yes. Like, so I'm sure he's ruined for life.
He's broken.
And Eddie, the cop, said he felt so bad for Josh.
I'm sure.
When he arrested him, Josh looked at him and was like, thank God.
Yeah.
Like, was
now
happy
can tell.
That he could tell.
And
then
he would
it was
at least
Eddie.
Be safe from his dad in jail.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jeff pleads guilty, saves everybody some time, thank God. But he gets life with parole.
Yes.
But he was looked 1,000. I'm sure he's not going to
He didn't
live.
Look good. No.
Oh, my God. Just a gross, terrible story where Darlene has to know that her sister was in a sewer all this time.
I mean, there couldn't have been much money involved anywhere. Like, just pay for this.
Well,
it wasn't like anybody was looking for it. She married a lot of people, but she wasn't taking them for their money.
No,
it wasn't like
she
was marrying people
about
for
that.
The money.
No.
She didn't
have time to say, I'm out of here to
no.
him because he... I think it said he hit her on the head and then put it around her neck or something where she was knocked where she couldn't fight back. Because she would have fought the shit out of him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Another just terrible, terrible situation, especially with the poor children.
And
is he dead?
Oh, I forgot what I was looking up. I just found an alarming picture of him. And so then was his name again? Jeff
Gannon?
Grannon. From Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Is he dead?
I hope so.
He was only 57?
Oh my gosh. He looked 91.
He did.
Oh he God. Looked very elderly.
And she was not even 40. She was only 36.
I know. She was so young.
Why was she marrying a guy who was 57?
I don't know. Carol, her picker was broken.
Dear God. Man kills wife in front of son.
Ugh.
I don't see anything about
all right,
him
he might
dying.
Still be alive.
Yeah.
They would say that. Well, anyway, I hope we brightened your day, dear listener.
With this.
We hoped we brightened it. Anyway, again, if you could leave a rating or review, that would be amazing. Check out our Facebook and our Patreon if you would like more content. We have extra episodes on there just for you and extra stuff.
And we got some good stuff coming because we hit our 50 mark. Do. So
anyway, thank you so much. Until next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.